Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday, Kevin.
It's that time of the week, everyone.
You know, we've missed you. We've had a couple of episodes where you've been in absentia.
It's been a little strange, hasn't it?
You've been like Godot. I've been waiting for you.
Aw. You're right. We had a little emergency, so I couldn't record some of the My Favorite Things. And then, because we were out of town, you were by yourself for the Charlotte Ray extravaganza.
Oh, yes, I was. Yes, I was. Bless her.
And also, Kay Ballard.
Kay Ballard. I went to go visit her in Palm Springs.
I was in absentia. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed you for those.
We missed you.
I know.
We missed you. But I'm thinking, because the audio quality on the Charlotte Ray wasn't so hot, how about we do it again.
Right.
But you play me and I play her.
Oh, my God.
And we just do it verbatim.
So I edited that podcast, listeners, and I texted Rob right after because I was like, man, You get an award for that because you were really, your questions were on point. You were going after things, but bless her heart, she was like, I don't remember any of that. Nope, don't remember.
No, she didn't say, I don't remember. She said, I don't remember. Yes.
You tried so many different angles. You were like just trying so hard.
Oh, but that's okay. You know what, though?
No, she said fun stuff.
I always say this, even if we don't get a lot out of them, we get something a little bit more than we knew previously about that era.
Well, yes, and it's a piece of history that's preserved forever. I mean,
yes.
That was the whole point. You know,
yes. I mean,
they all may not, some are definitely more entertaining than others, but the fact remains that she lived that life and we've preserved it now.
Yeah, so God bless. That's,
yeah.
No, God
I think,
bless.
And bless you for being on your car phone.
I got to speak to...
Because it did feel like it was like 1920s radio hour.
Hold on, let me clarify, because I said car phone. And
yeah, I know, everyone gave you shit for
and
that.
And Robbie Rizal was like, who has a car phone anymore? I was speaking in the car while I was driving. So she was on Bluetooth?
Because it did sound like it was like a piece of tin with like string attached to it.
That's the only way she would do the interview. She sent me two Campbell soup cans and a shoelace.
Oh, God.
She said, make a phone. Tootie could do it. Why can't you? In episode 7, that's how Tootie and Joe spoke to each other.
It's funny, though. Poor woman. Usually we talk more about theater, but she really did like talking about her television stuff more than
Well,
theater.
She was one of the pioneers of live dramatic television in New York City, which is so rare that we actually get
what
to...
What is that, Rob? Because you're saying those words in a sentence, and I'm like, live dramatic television? I have no idea what you're talking about.
So it was not uncommon in the 1950s for television shows to like have a... Like, it was a serial show. So, like, for example, there was like the Colgate Dramatic Hour, and every week they would present like a 90-minute live television play.
Live?
Written specifically for that week. Like... Wow. God, I hope I'm getting this right. Like the subject, no, there's a famous movie called Days of Wine and Roses with Jack Lemmon.
It was like sounds like a daytime movie.
Yeah, and it was originally a teleplay. So they would go in, they would rehearse for a week, And then every like Friday or Saturday night at 8 o'clock, they went on the air live and did a full dramatic play.
Incredible. And but, this is, was also in the time when there would be more, you know, musicals would have like an hour and a half production of it being done. You know, they, and it was live like that, that, that Cinderella, you know, with Julie Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Live.
That,
you know,
Kay Ballard was also in.
Yes.
But yeah, so, but they would do this every single week. And if you want to see some good ones, there's a great DVD set from Criterion called The Golden Age of Television. And it's got a whole bunch on there. Oh. But it, I mean, this is where so many great actors got their start. Like, you'll see ones with a young Dustin Hoffman. You'll see ones with like a young Charlotte Ray, a young Jack Lemmon. Yeah. And a lot of New York stage actors who, like, we had talked about, like, with Car 54.
Right.
We only saw them, we know them from musicals, but we don't really get to see what their acting performance is like beyond the cast recording, and that's a perfect place for
it. So in
the 50s,
that was when this really was happening, and Charlotte was at the forefront of it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and now think about it, like, today when they're like, oh, my God, we're doing, you know, a live movie musical or a live TV musical.
And it's like, it's ooh, live, that's unheard of.
Months and yeah. months and months of prep. These people were doing a new one. Every week.
It's crazy.
So anyway, so she's a part of that, which I think is a really important part of our legacy and of our history.
I think that's just fascinating.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, thanks for that little tidbit.
Oh, you're welcome.
The more you know. Mm.
Speaking of the more you know, can I give you some like something I found out that I'm kind of surprised about?
Okay.
And it has nothing at all to do with theater, but I'm thinking ahead here. So in China now, I think I might have told you this, on tombstones, they're now putting QR codes. So when you go to a grave site, you literally hold your phone up to the QR code on
the tombstone.
That's
that little like splotchy black and white
yes.
little thing that you get on the internet that you like, I don't even know how you scan it, but you can scan it somehow.
Well, you hold your phone up and it like pops and it goes. So anyway, it's going to take you to a website where it tells you all about the person that's underground, about the person who's died.
That's like the future of cemeteries.
But I was thinking, do you want that on your tombstone? A QR code?
Sure. Why not? Mm. I want a song to play.
What would
like,
you?
Well, like it's like, like the minute you click it, it'll be like.
So what song from Goldilocks will be
exactly
popping
up? Like? I never know when to say when. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible for a dead person.
Well, you know, it's the irony has got to be there.
Oh, you like a good irony.
Oh thing. Yeah, you got to poke fun at it.
Mine'll be Penny in My Pocket.
But you singing it like you do in the shower.
Yes, which yeah. you've not heard, but it's kind of impressive.
But I'm sure it's amazing. You've actually performed most of the song for me before.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah.
On subways, in elevators.
Yep.
Did it in front of David Hyde Pierce. Security asked me to leave, but it was kind of fun. He was a good sport about it.
Yeah, I bet he was.
He was good. So, Kevin.
It's that time.
It's that time for our favorite things.
All right.
So what do you got? I'm going to have you go first.
Okay. Now, mine's going to sound like it's a plug, but it really, this did come first, and then the plug just comes second, because there's something that's going on where you work at 54 Below that has to do with this, completely unrelated, except that it's just the same title of the same show that I wish to honor. Yeah, and but I've always been a fan of this musical. It did not get the fair chance that I think that it should have,
A
lot of it'll probably be revived someday, and people will say, oh my gosh, this is a really good show. Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows that's based on a classic. So, you know, we've had Pride and Prejudice been around, we've had Sense and Sensibility go around, you know, after Les Mis proved that you could make a pretty, you know, good musical. This musical is definitely in the same vein as the pop operatic tradition, which may have been the downfall of this because that it was coming at the, you know, I think the timeline of like that pop opera movement, you might say, this was near the end of it. 2000 is when this came out. You know what it is?
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
This is Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre.
Oh, my God.
Jane Eyre, the musical, based on the book, with music and lyrics by Paul Gordon, who more recently did Daddy Long Legs that was playing off Broadway. That I feel like my students love to sing those songs. And then book by John Caird of Les Miserables fame. It was first done in Toronto at the Royal Alexander Theatre in 1996. That gives you an idea of when the process of writing this musical took place. It definitely, the score is sweeping. I would not say that it's a Les Mis, even though I could see how very easily it gets grouped in with those musicals, Miss Saigon, Les Mis, Femme Opera. It has an epic feeling to it, but it's really a pretty simple story. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to go into like what Jane Eyre is all about, because most of you probably already know that. But it was, unfortunately...
Sorry.
It's funny. Why are you laughing?
I'll tell you at the end.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with this Jane Eyre. Sorry. Horrible. Okay. I'll tell you
You're
later.
Cracking me up. But it it opened at the Brooks Atkinson Theater on Broadway in November 9th, and it closed, gosh, 6-8 months later. You know, it was a very, it did not have the long run that I think that they were hoping.
What year again?
2000.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, and I think yes, it was a busy year, but there was also I think it just couldn't find the right audience. But people who went into it loved it. There was a lot of major technical achievements that they did for this show. They had to basically tear down the middle of the theater and give it better supports because there was this modular lighting device equipment, this like big stack in the middle that was suspended that weighed so much that they had to reinforce the stage, and that this technology was so advanced that they from my friends that were in it, because I knew a lot of people when I did a little night music that had been in Jane Eyre, and they were telling me that they really didn't get to tech or do act two. It's like they spent all their time on act one, and then they ran out of time. Mm. And they just didn't have the time to really go into the development of act two and get all the technical qualities there. But it was a major stage invention to have this modular thing that moved and rotated and could give the lighting and all. Because you have to imagine, you know, technology is the last 20 years has been, we listen to the Ken Billington interview and listen to him talk about how even lighting devices in the last 20 years have completely changed, and the way that designers design has changed. So I think they were doing new things even then. One of the kind of fascinating things that I think, and I remember this when this happened, but when, so they were nominated for a bunch of Tony Awards. Marla Schaffel was for Best Actress, Best Score, Best Lighting Design, Best Musical. And so they were going to close before the Tony, so like let's say they had their closing notice like May 20th, and but the Tony Awards weren't till the end of beginning of June.
Yeah.
So they needed someone to help keep them open, and Alanis Morissette, the pop singer, famously bought $150,000 worth of tickets, donated them to charities so they could stay open through the Tony Awards. True story. She was such a fan of the show.
I did not know that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, a little fun fact. So they stayed on. They closed the day of the Tonys. So
wow.
They were staying open also just so they could get to that, because they could have that those 2 weeks to just enjoy, you know, the limited success that it found. The score is sweeping. It's a beautiful score. Some favorite songs, Sweet Liberty, Forgiveness, that my friend Jane Patterson sings, Brave Enough for Love. It is a, I just think that it's worth a listen. I think that if you are a fan of Les Miserables or Miss Saigon or Phantom, you will hear similarities, but Paul Gornin definitely has his own voice. And he is, I think, a very valid theater writer. Yeah, I'm going to check out more of his works. But I know that this will get done again someday, and it gets done from time to time. But it's all there. James Barber was in it. It was a good piece.
Do you know when it's going to be at 54 Below?
Yes, February 28th, that our good friend Robbie Rozelle is directing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Elena Shadow will be playing the Jane Eyre part.
She's great.
So if you're not doing anything, and believe me, they were not connected. It just happens that I know Robbie. But I love Jane Eyre, the score, and I think I would highly suggest going to 54 Below and checking it out, seeing some of these songs sung.
That's very exciting, because who knows when we're going to see this again?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And to hear it really done by, and you got to have great singers and great performers, because it is a hard piece to sing. But I think the music is lush and sweeping and really worth a listen. So if you have a chance, go out and listen to Jane Eyre.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I have it on my iTunes.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to it yet. I'm having a massive problem with my iTunes, by the way, if anyone can help me out.
What's wrong with it?
Well, this is kind of embarrassing, but here we go.
Uh-oh.
So I have a bunch of music on there, surprise, surprise, and it's all cast recordings. Something happened when I was transferring my music to my new computer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what this is?
Oh, I know exactly. Like, all the files are all messed up, and they're not grouped together the way they should be grouped.
Well, no, they're grouped together, except that anytime it says Overture,
uh-oh,
the only Overture that plays, for some reason, is the Showboat Overture. I'm really not joking. Like, any time, like, I went to go listen to the Overture of Gypsy.
Oh, the classic.
And I was getting, I was like, ready.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I heard, bomb, 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 bomb. It's like the opening of Showboat. So every Overture on all of my albums is now the Showboat Overture.
It's like someone listening knows exactly what's wrong, but there's something with the way you're grouping the files and like your
really?
in the iTunes like folder. Yeah.
But like if it says Finale, It's like the it's like the appropriate finale for each show.
So strange.
But every overture now is just a showboat overture, which was really confusing because like I was listening to Jesus Christ Superstar and it came out.
You didn't know.
Bomb, bomb.
No,
I don't get any of that. And I'm a big overture fan.
That's a great overture. The Jesus Christ Superstar overture.
I guess
overture.
I'll never know. I guess I'll never know at this point. Oh my gosh. So anyway, that's if anyone knows how to fix that.
I'm sorry.
Somebody let me know because as
let
much
Rob
as I love
hear his overtures, he wants to hear his overtures again.
As much as I love Showboat,
no.
I kind of want to hear some other overtures.
You gotta hear some Goldilocks.
I hear nothing, pal. I got nothing. So if anybody knows how to fix that,
it's a sad song.
Send
help Rob out. So what's your favorite thing for the die?
Ooh.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So mine is a musical.
Okay.
Much like you. It's okay. A musical. Yeah. It only ran for 61 performances at the Palace Theater.
Mm.
It's not La Cage aux Folles with Van Johnson. Throwback to previous episode. 61 performances at the Palace Theater. It opened in a very competitive season because there were a lot of big musicals that 60s? Year.
60s?
Not 60s. It's a very competitive season, and all the other musicals were very big. And this one was very tiny.
And it played the Palace?
And it played the Palace. This show,
I do think patent leather shoes really reflect up?
No,
I don't know why.
We will never talk
that. Never would have played the Palace
on this show. As soon as we have to start talking about that show on our favorite things,
didn't we talk about that with someone like
somebody was in it? I think we interviewed. Oh, Larry Hawkman, was involved in it.
Yeah, that was it. Good job.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's all a blur now. Like
it
we used
is.
We used to know so much, and now I feel like I'm like, yeah, I heard something about that one time.
What is this?
All right. So, all right. What year? What season?
The 78-79 season.
Ooh.
So the other musicals that opened this year, all right, were Bessel Whorehouse in Texas.
Yep.
Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing our song, which is only, you know, eight people, but still pretty big considering
right.
Neil Simon and Marvin Hamlisch. So this is just this
Carmelina?
Little,
no,
but that's just. We discussed that on this show.
I actually love Carmelina. I enjoy the cast recording that they made years later because then they brought back a couple people.
I can't remember George if Brown we've talked about it.
No, I don't think we have.
That should be.
Was it a favorite thing?
I feel like we have.
I feel like it could have been one of my favorite things.
We'll go back and look if our listeners know.
Oh God!
So it's not. It's not okay. Carmelina. It's by a very reputable composer and lyricist.
Is this like a Charles Strauss musical?
Not Charles Strauss. He's a big name.
Maltby and Shire?
No. He was a big name. He had a string of hits in the 60s, and then the 70s weren't so kind to him.
A Lerner?
No.
Richard Rodgers?
No. very optimistic.
Jerry Herman.
Yes, it's a Jerry
Grand
Herman
Tour.
Show. It's the Grand Tour.
Bam!
Look at you.
Wow. Ooh, I don't know much about the Grand Tour.
Oh, good. Neither do I. Because... that iTunes also erased the Grand Tour.
Geez.
And now it's just, it's old voice lessons.
Pause.
Oh, hold, my pizza's here. So yes, it is the Grand Tour.
All right.
Jerry Herman. We took a little bit of a break because a pizza arrived, so.
Can't blame us.
Just so you're aware. So the Grand Tour actually might have suffered because Joel Grey was its lead. That's what Jerry Herman says.
Really?
Yes. So the Grand Tour is based on a play. And the story of the Grand Tour is a man who has this incurable optimism about him. You know the song, I'll Be Here Tomorrow? The Jerry Herman song?
Sure.
Have you never heard it?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. No. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. So he is a man who is stuck in Paris. He's trying to get out of Paris before the Nazis arrive.
Oh, gosh.
And he hooks up with a colonel. Now, here's the cool thing.
He hooks up with a colonel?
No. Oh. There's a colonel.
Oh, okay.
Joel Grey buys a car to get out of Paris, but can't drive the car. There's a colonel at the hotel he's staying at, played by Ron Holgate, who knows how to drive but doesn't have a car. So guess what?
Hey.
They road trip.
Hey-o.
They also pick up the colonel's girlfriend, Marianne, played adorable. By Florence Lacey.
Wasn't there a song called Marianne?
Yes, it's a beautiful song. And they escape and try to flee before the Nazis invade. And as they're on the car ride, Joel Grey starts to fall in love with the colonel's girlfriend.
So trouble.
It's trouble in paradise.
Yeah, so it's like Sound of Music meets...
Sound of Music meets...
like some sort of like rom-com.
Yeah, it's like...
you know what I mean?
Like Sound of Music meets Bridesmaids. That's exactly
and
how...
Mac and Mabel. Yeah, I got it.
That's exactly how Jerry Herman pitched it to everybody. Yeah. I don't want to tell you any more than this because I'll give you a little history, but I want you to discover the show on your own.
I don't want to give you any more. I'm just going to tell you that much.
But I'll tell you more. So in the original play, the Colonel and the Joel Grey character were equal. They were equal. And then with Joel Grey playing it's a star. So it's sort of through it's not really a triangle anymore. Mm. It's now totally out of whack. They've revised the show a couple of times, once with Jason Graw, our former guest.
At the York?
Once was at the York and once was in Los Angeles, so they worked on it there together. And the show got really wonderful reviews once it was subdued.
Uh-huh.
Once it was two actors that are of equal status with one another. So once again, the show is really, really pretty. The show is really, really beautiful. If you've not had the chance to take a listen to it, it's one of it's not his best score, but there's no reason why it shouldn't be up there with something like Lacage.
Well, everyone loves Mac and Mabel, and this came right after that, and also you love Lacage, and yet he was at the peak of his game. I mean, like, he knew how to write a song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's one of his lesser known shows. It's called The Grand Tour. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Apple Music. And I think if you want to do it illegally, which you shouldn't do, it's available on YouTube as well. If anyone out there has actually seen or saw the original, let us know if this is absolutely correct, if whether or not Joel Grey really threw it off balance or there was something that wasn't working with the show. Jerry Herman has said, and Jason Graz also said, that when it plays as a jukebox, not jukebox, as it plays in like a jewel box theater, in a small little theater, it's very, very moving.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping that maybe it'll come back, maybe in encores at some point, and make it intimate, and let's see what happens with it. But I think, especially in today's climate, this idea of I'll be here tomorrow, this idea of optimism in the face of adversity, is something we all need. I find that every time I turn on the news, I have to shut it off and then immediately turn on like a Jerry Herman album.
Yes.
I really do, because it can get so negative, but I found, maybe it's just the mood that I'm in, but I found the score to be very, very moving. And a little bit of a panacea for what everyone is going through at this current moment.
I love
moment.
A good panacea.
Me too, not to be confused with a pancreas. those are two big SAT words right there for you. Okay, so once again, mine is Jerry Herman's The Grand Tour.
Mine is Jane Eyre.
We're going to eat this pizza and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.